All right, welcome back to the Artist Connection podcast. This is Matt Kasar here with a very special guest, a very special friend of mine, Mr. George Robb.
Hello. Special. Welcome, ooh, sir. I get into the special column. I love it. I love it. Nice to be back.
The first time you were here was episode 6, which was July of 2011.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that time I introduced you as the lovely and talented George Robb, which a description that still holds up.
Oh, okay, good. A little less lovely, maybe.
A little worse for the wear.
That lovely and talented balance equation. It's like, which do you want more of? I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I'm at now, yeah.
We just listened to your cover of Psycho Killer. And before we started recording, I told you that that was the first song that I heard of yours.
Right.
When a couple friends of mine at work turned me on to you.
And you still, you searched for more after that.
I did. I mean, that's that was the catalyst. And then just from there, I've literally been a fan ever since.
Mm. Well, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that tune's interesting. I mean, obviously, but I'm a gigantic Talking Heads fan. I mean, Talking Heads was my first band. That was the real first band that I jumped into.
What about them grabbed you?
Well, the thing was, my dad, I've told the story before, but my dad took me to see Stop Making Sense in a theater. I was in eighth grade, and I had seen the video for Burning Down the House,
right,
and maybe the video for Once in a Lifetime, and it was weird. It was just weird. I didn't get it. I didn't understand what was going on. It was these weird video images. It was this lanky, tall, nerdy guy. there was something appealing about it, because I liked the rhythms of it. I liked the melody of it, but it was weird. You know, I liked Hall & Oates. I liked, you know, early MTV stuff. So some of the Police, Cyndi Lauper, you know, Duran Duran, that kind of stuff I was like into and digging. And here was this arty, you know, more along the Devo side of things and kind of this arty weirdness. And I didn't quite get it. But my dad saw, I guess, an ad or something listed that this movie, Stop Making Sense, which is a concert film, was being shown in a theater. And he was like, we should go see this. I think you know these guys. They're the Burning Down the House guys. I'm like, okay, cool. So we went, and if you're not familiar with Stop Making Sense, I mean, I think it's the best concert film.
I agree.
I think still to this day.
Yeah, I agree.
Jonathan Demme directed it. It's before he did Silence of the Lambs. It's before he did all the stuff they ended up doing, one of his early films. And it's shot in a way that is just so, it puts you in the audience in the best way possible. It gives you the ultimate seat for this show. So there's not a lot of close-ups. There's not a lot of focusing on performers' hands. There's not a lot of fast cuts. It's a lot of slow takes, and you're just there, and
you're there,
and you're absorbing it, and you're allowing the performance to be special and not the editing of the performance to be special, which is something that to this day bugs the crap out of me when I watch concert videos.
Oh, it's gotten so bad now.
It's
just short attention span. Just, you know, you're focusing for 1 second, and then the next thing you know, you're on the drums. Now you're back to the guitar.
A lot of close-ups on faces and hands. And, like, I'm not interested in that. I want the vitality of the performer to come across. If they're vital, if they're interesting, it'll come across. If they're a boring performer, then that's going to come across as well, and that's on them.
Right.
But I want that option as an observer to be able to say, oh, this is boring, or this is mesmerizing. So there I am in eighth grade, you know, with my limited musical vocabulary and limited appreciation of visual arts, musical arts. And I'm just blown away. I mean, I'm speechless, because this is such a well thought out, even to a kid, this is such a well thought out performance. And I realize, like, there is so much more to this. There is so much more to this music thing than I can really even comprehend. And that was the catalyst. And it was just like a spark in a mind full of gas, you know, like just boom. So I had to get everything I possibly could, you know, on my limited eighth grader's budget, try to find. My cousin dubbed me a copy of Songs About Buildings and Food and Talking Head 77, the first two albums. I absorbed those. It was my food, and got into them, and there was just something about them that I just loved and got. They were accessible. They were funky. They were weird. They were danceable too. I loved that you could dance to their stuff. That it was on its surface, they were a dance band.
Right.
They were like a funk R&B dance band, but there's a deep, deep artistic thing happening there, like a weird art school thing happened, because they all went to art school.
Yeah.
That's how they met.